Now hear the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer.
Amen.
You know, one of the great things about having a young child while you're in ministry is you get some great questions. And seven-year-old theology is fascinating. Last week, Morgan said, "So in communion, we pretend that the wine is Jesus' blood." And so in asking about what it means when we say this is the blood of Christ, we had about a two-hour discussion on transubstantiation, consubstantiation, on Zwinglian and Luther and Calvin and German. No, we really didn't. I would have liked to, but I got that look from Jennifer. And so instead I said, "Well, what do you mean when you say pretend? Is pretend meaning that something isn't real, or just that it's real in a different way?" She said, "It means it's real in a different way." I said, yes, we pretend because we see reality differently as we come to this table. We see actually true reality in a world of pretend. Don't think that our lives aren't built on pretend. What the preacher in Ecclesiastes calls vanity, or a puff, a vapor, a mist. Our lives are built on pretend. We come and we have these little pieces of cloth paper printed with green ink, and we pretend that they have intrinsic value. We pretend that they purchase our security. We pretend that they can turn into these little electrons in our bank accounts, and that that's where we have our stuff and our identity. We pretend that the words of others determine who we are. We pretend that we can live without God. But what happens when reality, capital R reality, meets pretend? We might even call this the mystery of the incarnation. When God came down from heaven and took on the form of a man who we call Jesus. And he exposed all of our pretend to be vanity and vapor. We see that as Luke tells us of this man coming to Jesus. Someone in the crowd comes and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus looks into his heart, and after riffing on Moses a little bit, "Who made me judge and arbiter over you?" He says, "Take care. Be on your guard against all covetousness," what the ancient church would call avarice, and name a deadly sin. Be on your guard against this, for your life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Your life is not built on the stuff that you have. Here is where we see the pretend of security of stuff meeting the reality of the eternal God. We do that the same way. We pretend that our life, our value, our worth, and our identity lie in something other than God. We see covetous or avarice named by Christ. We name that. We say, this is when we pretend that our stuff is our life. Paul describes this as idolatry. He says, avoid covetousness, for this is idolatry. This is making a God out of ourself and our stuff that distracts us from the one true God. And he names it in the same way that he names sexual immorality and other moral vices that result from the same pretending that our life and our identity exist outside of God. Imagine what the church would look like if we took greed as seriously as sex, if we took justice as seriously as greed. We would change the world. We would not have to pretend anymore. Yet Jesus uses parables to invite us to see reality in a different way, to expose the way that we're pretending. So he tells this parable. He says, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And so the rich man thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have no way to store all of this wealth, all of these crops. So he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God says to him, you fool. Tonight your soul is required of you, and the things that you have stored up, whose will they be? So it is with the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So we look at this rich fool. Is he successful? By the pretend of the world, he's very successful. He has stuff aplenty. He doesn't have to work anymore. He can dedicate himself to a life of pleasure without worry. He's achieved the American dream in ancient Israel. He's able to pretend that he has security in his stuff, and that secures his happiness in his future. But what happens when reality meets his pretend? God says, you fool. Vanity is revealed. The preacher of Ecclesiastes, Solomon the Wise, the grandest king of Israel, looks back on his life and says, I have done all of this stuff. I have amassed wealth. I have built an empire. I have armies. I have kings paying tribute to me. I have more women than I can ever imagine. I have more food and more rich food than I could ever eat. And I look and I say, all of this stuff, and it's vanity, it's vapor, all of this work that I am so proud of is for nothing. And as we look at the future of Israel, Solomon's son is not raised well, rejects God, rejects the unity of the kingdom, and the kingdom is divided forever. So what does it mean when reality meets pretend? We see this as we place this parable in the context of Luke's larger gospel. We see over the last several weeks that we've seen what it means to live in the kingdom. Jesus has talked about the great commandment, has talked about the Lord's Prayer, has talked about the death of a martyr, has talked about the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of evil. In the rich fool, we find the antithesis of the great commandment. The great commandment that says, love God with everything that you have and your neighbor as yourself. As we look at the words of the rich fool, I, my. He has loved himself alone. His only conversation partner is himself. There's no one, not a family, no one to inherit the great wealth that he has amassed. In the rich fool, we find the antithesis of the Lord's Prayer. He has hallowed his own name. He has made himself great. He's built his own kingdom, and he pretends that he can provide his own bread. As we look at the way Jesus tells the parable, the land produced plentifully, and the man said, I did this. The land produced plentifully, and the man said, I did this. In the rich fool, we see the antithesis of the martyr, the witness of the kingdom of God who gives his life to bear witness. Immediately before this passage, Jesus has said to his disciples, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who can kill the body. And after that, they have nothing more they can do. But I warn you to fear the one who, has, when he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And the rich man, we see that his death is vanity. His death is nothing. God says to him, you fool, you've amassed all of this. What is it good for? Compare that to the one who dies for the name of Christ and is honored before God and the angels that stand before God giving glory. Ultimately, we find in the rich man the antithesis between the world and the kingdom. The rich fool represents the pretend of the world, and Jesus describes the reality of the kingdom in this way right after telling the parable. He says to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or about your body or what you will put on, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither reap nor sow. They neither have storehouses nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more of value are you than birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? If then you are not able to do something as small as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. We're called back to Solomon, who looks back and says, all is vanity. Even Solomon is not, in all of his glory, does not have the glory that a simple flower has. If God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is burned, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. What is pretend, the kingdom of the world, or the kingdom of God? What is the reality that we seek to see? How does this parable speak to us today? You know, as I read through this, and I read the plight of this rich fool, and I read in the newspaper of one of the Kennedy grandchildren committing suicide, and I look at the professions that I call my own as soldier and as veterinarian, professions that struggle with suicide, I think the rich fool tells us something about suicide. I don't know that he committed suicide. I don't know that that's what it means that God appeared to him that night. But I see in him the things that we see in our society today that lead to suicide. If we look at the prevailing model of suicide. Suicide happens when we perceive that we are all alone, when we perceive that we are a burden, when we have no hope of change, and when we become comfortable and habituated to death. We live in a culture of self, a culture of death, a world of pretenders. What does it mean to see the kingdom instead? The kingdom provides the antithesis to this culture of death. We're not alone, but we are gathered together in God and in the communion of saints. We're not burdensome, but we're beloved and called. We're not accustomed and habituated to death, but instead to life, to joy. We're at ease with and in covenant with life and not death. What does the rich fool teach us about discernment, about choosing or knowing which way God is leading us? We might look at discernment as a way of revealing our pretending, taking before God the things that we see, saying, show us reality. One of the ways of discerning between two goods is to prayerfully picture ourselves on our deathbed and look back at that choice. Allow God to reveal the consequences and ways of that choice to us, to see where there is joy, where there is regret. Is work good? Work is good. Is family good? Family is good. But oftentimes we have to discern between the two. And I think very few people looking back on their deathbed say, I wish I had worked more and spent less time with my family. The look at our own mortality reveals what is true and what is real and what is vanity. So what about as we come to this table? I think this table is a place where reality meets pretend. I invite you to come see what is true and real in a different way. Come, pretend. See in a different way. Let your spiritual imagination see the reality of the upper room as Christ, on that first celebration of the Lord's Supper, spoke to the disciples. Let him speak to you. Hear the words, "This is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you and for the world." Come and encounter reality incarnate. But you know, Monday comes, and we have to enter back into the real world and pretend again. I invite you to look at what it means to live kingdom lives instead of the pretend of this world. With Paul, I invite you to put off the old stuff, the old self, the pretender, and the practices that pretend that our identity and our worth and our value come from our stuff, from our doing, from things outside. Put on the new self, which is grounded in your identity as a new creation in Christ, made in the image of the Creator. Lay aside those divisions that we create for ourselves. Lay aside the craftings of our pretending that one is better than another, that one is different from another, and know that Christ is in all and is all. Put on your true identity as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Have compassion in your hearts. Show kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another, for you have been forgiven by God. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, in thought or prayer, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give thanks to the Father through him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.